All right, Derek Varn is here with us, of course, because he's always here. This is Pop the Left. I'm Douglas Lane, publisher of Zero Books, author of Batch Batch Revolution, which I think is right over there. This is Derek Varn. He is a slush pile reader, is what I'm going to call you this week at Zero Books, and a poet and a high school teacher now.
Yeah, I've been a high school teacher for, 7 years. I was a professor when I first started your show, but that was a long time ago.
I know, but I still think of you as a professor. So, yeah, and we are going to be discussing the political moment. We usually, or we've been trying to discuss the history of socialism, maybe big concepts in the history of socialism. But at the moment, everything seems very immediate. In the last week and a half or 2 weeks, we've seen tremendous political change. And now it seems like we're about to see catastrophic social change. And I thought we'd talk about that. But before I hit the live stream, you know, got us going, you were telling me that, which I haven't paid attention to this, that the Congress, the Republicans in the Congress in the U.S. are trying to block relief packages for people during what will be probably a massive quarantine.
Right. So they're trying to block a relief package that for sure has a 14-day emergency 14-day emergency paid leave that the federal government would foot the bill for corporations so that they would actually honor it. Mm-hmm. Instead of asking anyone to do it out of the goodness of their heart. Right now, all these kind of things come down on state budgets. States cannot print money to get out of the situation.
Right.
So they clearly don't give a shit. And
you know, the Republicans want to make this a tax relief.
A tax relief bill, just like what the president said. The Republican governors are actually becoming very frustrated. You know, here in Utah, during his address today, fully addressing the guidelines for the state of emergency here in Utah, that there were some snipes about us not being able to get coronavirus testing kits, and that the federal government had not been able to come through on that. And, you know, that's a very mild snipe, but from a Republican governor in a ruby red state, except for Salt Lake, of course, which is, you know, pinko, like a lot of the, like, you know, it's more like Oregon in that sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, but you know, as a teacher, we are keeping this. We have a non-hard enforced ban on everything.
I'm just flashing this on the screen. Hey, here from Switzerland, the corona situation is desperate. Switzerland is not testing anymore, and even the doctors have no idea about it. Stay inside. Yeah, we're not testing very much either. We haven't really started testing, so it's not fair to say we're not testing anymore.
CDC has tested 77 people.
Yeah.
There are private estate organizations doing testings. I've heard there may only be 5,000 kits. Who knows? We're not getting good info anymore. I mean, the president's address last night contained three falsehoods at least. So one of the things that's clear to me is because only a third of the Senate is up because of the constitutionally staggered senatorial elections, the GOP in the Senate clearly does not give a shit.
Are they just behind in the news? Or they just haven't gotten the picture yet? I mean, are they?
Well, I mean, I doubt it. I doubt it. I mean, dude, there's two Congress people at least who've tested positive for it.
Right.
So at this point, no. I mean, the only good thing I can say about COVID is COVID does not seem right now to spell the wealthy because there is no treatment other than time.
Right. Well, I feel as though I have been kind of aware of this because my kid's in South Korea, which I mentioned to you before. So I knew he was under quarantine in South Korea and that he couldn't go out of the house for the last 3 weeks. I just sort of assumed, and I think this is wrongly, obviously, that if it came to the U.S., that it would not be as severe somehow. I don't think I ever said those words allowed.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, it just, I think that was some sort of, I don't know. We haven't had a war here on our own soil. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, I haven't lived through this before. So I just didn't imagine that it would come here and be worse. But that, I think, is definitely what the situation is going to be. In South Korea, they are testing. They have drive-through testing available. And the rate of increase is declining.
Right. So, you know, you have a son there. I have a very close friend of mine in South Korea. Actually, there on my suggestion, which I feel terrible about at the moment. As your listeners probably don't know, I lived in South Korea as both a professor for like 3 years. So
the person from Switzerland actually has the coronavirus. I just want to flash that on the. So.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's a virus. There's not a whole lot you can do. There's some research into effective antivirals. For most people, it's a nasty pneumonia-like flu, because even the light cases actually apparently do feel pretty scary, unless you're one of those people who barely manifests it. And I'm not a health professional, but I've been briefed on this a lot lately. I've been at meetings all day. Mm-hmm. The school district up the street from my school district closed. It's the only one in Utah right now closed, but we're all gearing up to go on to online classes. The colleges all did so today. And so I'm following this, and the contrast of this needs to be pointed out, right? So at this moment, the Fed is not, you know, an elected body, but it just dumped between $1 trillion and $1.5 trillion into shore up the banks because we lost 10% in a day. Bitcoin is down. There's actually real fears in the bond market. Between Europe and Asia and this stuff having strains, if you follow coronaviruses too, the analogy of SARS is scary because SARS went through three waves, and in those three waves, it got worse every time. The fatality rate went up. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with this virus. This virus could be like a lot of viruses, which not only decreases but can't survive summer heat. But not all viruses are like that. So we frankly don't know. And I'm not saying this to freak people out. It's just, it's like if you hear reports from Italy, like it's scary. It is legitimately scary because they now have their ICUs over capacity and they're going into utilitarian triage.
Yeah, this is again one more comment from the person who has it. 234 Pika Pika says, I don't need advice. I only want to say people that the mild version is horrible too. In Italy, the young ones are dying now.
Because the ICUs are full. Once the ICUs are full, pneumonia is fatal. And this has a 5 to 10% chance of inducing pneumonia.
Right.
So, you know, the 1% is also assuming that it sets the same virulence rates. The run of reasons why they're calling this the novel coronavirus is COVID-19 is actually like one strain of it, and there might be two or three strains in this. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm like the research is coming out faster than we even can keep up with. And I've been spending like a lot of my time, you know, studying this. Of one of my someone close to me was exposed twice removed from by the jazz player in Utah who shut down the NBA effectively. Mm-hmm. And so now they're at home and they're working from home and they're on you know, self-enforced quasi quarantine. No symptoms, thank God, but that's where we're at. And so I've been following this like crazy, so much so that like I haven't been sleeping well. I've also been following the political situation and watching what Bernie's doing. Now the Democrats are telling Joe Biden to hide for the next few months, not because just the corona stuff and he's 78, but also because like he keeps on gaffing and getting himself in pretty serious trouble.
Yeah, he's 77, Bernie's 78. Yeah. Well, let's stay with the coronavirus for a bit before we move to the election. But it does bleed in. These things kind of bleed into each other. But I wonder, I guess here's the situation. I feel as though in my life, what I've experienced is the decapitation of the movement for social democracy, you know, in the last couple of weeks. In other words, I never was fully on board with this as an actual step towards some sort of mild version of socialism.
You and I were what we would properly say critical support E.
Yeah. So, but I did get excited when he took Iowa and when he took Nevada and New Hampshire. And then when all that fell apart, and it seemed very, and it fell apart again around Biden, who I think is suffering a cognitive decline.
I'm not going to speculate on that. I refuse to.
It seems to me that he is, but you know, I'm biased, but nonetheless, it definitely felt very depressing. Mm-hmm. And then this COVID-19 comes along, and now I feel like we're in a kind of similar situation in 2016, but Trump has already been elected. Like the feeling like everything, like the wheels are falling off the state. We're in a political crisis. We can't handle anything. Everything's upside down. That happened after Hillary lost last time. And it's happening in the primary season now. We have a state that can't test its citizens when there's a major threat from a virus. We have the Democratic Party that's going to be led by a man who, at the very least, as you would say, you know,
is a human gap machine.
Is unable to control himself in public.
Right.
And then we also have Trump, you know, trying to convince everyone that everything's okay and that we're still winning and we don't need to worry and just go out and shop when the shops are going to be all closed and we have to stay at home. I mean, it's...
Well, yeah, he was doing that till last night. And, you know, as the meme on TikTok went, my kids were showing me today, he used a fucking teleprompter. Oh my God, we're going to die.
Right. Yeah, right.
So, I mean, gallows humor, but that's where we are. Mm. And in all seriousness, we have been utterly unprepared for every stage of this. We have been as socialists, the Social Democrats have been, and the country has been. At every stage, we have been unprepared.
What should the socialists have done to prepare?
I'm not quite sure. I've thought about it for a while. Like, I've thought about it hard. I am skeptical of entryism in an electoral scenario, but I'm also like morally and politically completely opposed to impossibilism. And for our listeners to know what that means, it's the idea that we try to support reforms or a reform candidate on the idea that they would lose. And then in losing, who create a strategic victory to radicalize people towards the left. That doesn't, mm-hmm. that historically has never worked.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people try to draw that conclusion a little bit off of revolutionary defeatism with Lenin, but it's not actually analogous to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that Marx specifically freaked out about in his lifetime, people trying to pull that stunt. Mm-hmm. So, we have issues there. So I don't know what we should have done, I can't even tell you what we should do about like COVID. I mean, I would say mutual aid societies, but we have to be decentralized and in small groups, not to risk our own membership.
You know, it's
at
very
that point.
Difficult to know what to do, except to tell people to stay at home and hope that that some sort of state and federal programs kick in to keep supply chains moving and keep people fed and you know, warm, or, you know, keep the water running and all of that during this time. Because I think that the best thing to do is to go into quarantine. And you know, I'm saying that, and I sent my kid to school today. because I kind of felt like it was a weird decision. On the one hand, I'm following this well enough to know that the state government probably doesn't know how many cases there are.
Oh, no, no, there's no way we can't. If we're testing that little, we have no idea how many cases there are.
So they're flipping a coin to decide to shut down the schools or not themselves.
Everybody is. And we are I mean, we're in a bind. This is actually something not totally unique to America, but in the United States, actually, even this ironically is a result of weird left-wing activism. It was the Panthers lunch program that shamed national lunch programs into existing,
right?
You know, as a historical fact. But the national lunch programs have been increasingly since the 80s, kind of like how we've done all of our backdoor Keynesianism through the military. We've done all of our child welfare services through the schools, all of it. Mm-hmm. So now, if they close, we have no healthcare, like child care facilities. We have no, like, we have issues with free and reduced lunch. Like, my state has a plan to try to keep free and reduced lunch once we close and still offer food. But, like, how they're going to do it without exposing the staff, like, none of that's really been worked out yet. We're still trying to figure that out. We have the ability to go online, so we're not going to truly cancel school. We can count that as days in. But we don't have ability to provide all of our kids computers, and a lot of our kids don't have internet access. Like, we're in a bind. We will probably, and we are preparing to be able to go full online if we need to. And if we have a case diagnosed, I'm pretty sure we're going to. But for the workers, I mean, I don't know, like, yes, teachers have a lot of sick days if they've taught for a while, but if you're new to a district, you often only have 10. I have 7 and a few left. And so, for example, today I was like, well, we were having a meeting and I asked them, like, well, what do we do in case of exposure? Because someone close to me has been exposed and is now on self-quarantine. And they're like, well, if you have symptoms, stay home. And I was like, if I have symptoms, I've been incubating for 2 to 14 days. What do we do in case of exposure? Mm-hmm. We would be generous on letting you stay home if you follow your own days by normal procedures. So I'm like,
yeah, no, I mean, yeah,
we have nothing.
Yeah, something will be coming. Something will be coming, I think.
But as we began the thing, the House Democrats are trying to propose even a modest 14-day paid leave program. They can't get that through the Senate. There's going to be 2 weeks of debating. But by this time, by 2 weeks, if you follow the epidemiological patterns of Iran and Italy, we're fucked.
I know, but they're not going to. I'm just thinking, because of how things have been changing day by day, that we will, I would expect.
For what reason do you, what do you expect to change for? Why do you expect to change? Why do you have faith in this government, Doug?
Oh, I'm not saying I have great faith in this government, but I would just, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I just imagine that everywhere else I've seen around the world, they've been implementing quarantines and really trying to lock everything down in order to stop the spread.
Yeah, but they haven't all been able to deal with the financial effects of that.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. Well, look, forget about the federal government. Here's what you do. And then we'll move into the politics. But here's the solution for all the teachers, and just put the stock market. They're going to be injecting trillions in. It's not going to recover. Take those trillions out, put them in your pocket. Bet against the stock market, make a bundle. This is a crash. You know what's happening. My son's made $1,000 this morning by betting against the stock market. That's my advice to you. I'm not a licensed broker. I don't know what I'm talking about. You cannot come back on me on this. If you lose your shirt, that's on you. But I will say that I would get a lot of perverse pleasure out of teachers and people who are worrying about their income because of the COVID-19. Instead making money as a day trader is putting the market. So
all right.
I mean, we'll watch how things go, but I also, I'm in Oregon. This is another reason why maybe I have faith, and I would figure in where we have the Oregon health plan and people are keeping the schools open for in order to help people that there would have to be some sort of move to try to keep the supply chains going and to keep people from from
there's a move to keep the market afloat. So far, that is it. And that is true in the UK too, which, by the way, is one of the only countries that can still enter this country, even though they have at least 10,000 cases by their own estimates.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this might be an opportunity for the Social Democrats to revive themselves?
No.
Why not?
They've already effectively lost. They might in Europe proper, maybe, but I doubt it.
But I'm saying, like, we got Sunday, Bernie Sanders goes in and says, to Biden.
So we get to a brokered convention.
Oh yeah, right. Well, that was my dream anyway. But no, I'm not saying we should, grasp this, but I'm just asking the question. I'm not saying should it be. I'm just saying, do you think it's possible?
No.
And you just don't think it will impact people's votes. Do you think there will be continued votes?
I mean, I'm not sure.
The polls open?
Who knows? I'm not a conspiracist in the sense that I don't think Trump is like waiting to suspend the election, but this is a condition which, martial laws get declared.
Declare martial law, but you don't provide any payroll relief fund or any like extra food stamps or anything for people to maintain themselves under martial law, under quarantine. That's the move of the government. But the market will fix it, even though no one can go out and shop and even though no one can go to work. The market will fix it.
It's insane.
Yeah. Well, then, do you think there'll be what is called in the business social unrest?
I think the bond market's going to crash, is what I think. I don't think there'll be social unrest because social unrest will be justifiably put down because it's a health hazard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we already seen National Guard troops deployed to Rochelle. You'll see more of it if there's real social unrest. If we can get through the month, it'll be okay, probably. But the exponential growth thing that led to Italy was 5 days.
Wow.
Look at the thing. Like, it's mild, mild, mild for the first 4 days, and then between 5 and 9, you end up with like so many people in the ICU that the pneumonia that would normally not be fatal is now fatal in cases that would not be fatal before.
Right.
And we're going to run out of respirators. And we haven't even dealt with what the debt load from this is going to be, because there's been no Trump's statement yesterday about treatment being provided for. It is not. Bolsonaro has been tested. We don't know if he has it yet, but is one of his ministers who Trump went with does.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And to put it in this perspective of how serious this is, and I don't just think this is normal agitprop. Today I was reading that the preparation for pits for the dead in Iran, which has an even more advanced situation than Italy, are big enough to be seen from space.
So,
5% of a country is a lot of people.
Do you know much about the Spanish flu?
I know that it had a death rate of between 3 and 5%, and that we took it much more seriously than we took this. And travel was much smaller, and we shut down ports and stuff over it pretty quickly. We shut down schools over it quicker in a time where it took longer to get information out.
Although I think I read somewhere that people kept going to work even when they were sick at that time.
Yes, it did.
The war effort. So it didn't have as much of an impact on the productive economy.
No, because they didn't shut down. They didn't shut down the things, but they did shut down schools and stuff like that, which we're more hesitant to do. Now, the kids, for the most part, aren't in danger because of the age range of this effect.
Yeah, but they'll bring it home.
But they'll bring it home. And they're, schools are germ factories.
Right. Yeah, I almost didn't send my kid today, but then thought, well, they're gonna close it soon. I better send them while I can, which makes no sense at all. Like, what am I thinking? But I went back and forth on it. I'm not going to kick myself after the fact.
But the only nations that have had a really good grip on this, China closed its last emergency hospital today, but it did have massive deaths in Wuhan. It was able to limit it there. We're not going to limit it to New York, Washington, and California. There's only now, I think, four states that do not have cases. Idaho, which is right by Washington State, so it's going to get it eventually. It's effectively surrounded. Two southern states, which are also effectively surrounded. Maine was on that list, but it had its first case today. South Korea, which, like I said, I'm very familiar with, closed its schools. Even the Hagwons are closed, which are private entities. They had their testing system up. But another thing to remember about South Korea, it's a fortress, kind of, because it's surrounded by water on three sides, and you can't go through the north.
Right.
So it could shut things down. Taiwan and Vietnam, which is not as much of a fortress, have also small-scale countries. They've been able to shut things down. We don't really know, other than China, what this looks like in a mass-scale country. And China has an internal passport system and can lock down its internal borders. We don't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's looking very frightening. And on the political side of this, they go back to the collapse of the Social Democratic Movement that came around right at the same time this is happening. I mean, it is frustrating because the kinds of programs that Sanders is running on would seem to at least, I mean, they wouldn't stop something like this from happening, but they would at least set up conditions where we'd have an easier time managing.
Right. When it so hit. What we can get from Biden is an anemic single payer option. Without price controls, just like which was a single payer option might be a price control in of itself, but probably not. That's the other thing that was in the bill. There was going to be drug and vaccine price controls when they came out, and the Republicans rejected that too.
Yeah, I mean, I find it obscene that there should be a price attached to the vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to make sure of that.
Yeah.
This is like blatant class war. This is class biological warfare.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, it doesn't just affect the working class. And this time, it's professional stupid. Managerial not, class should be on our side, too. I think
everyone should be on our side, because when it comes to a pandemic, you don't wipe it out amongst the poor. You don't wipe it out. You know? You, if you give vaccines only to people who can afford it, it's not a very effective vaccine.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's not. This
is worse than thinking autism makes your kids retarded. You know, I mean, sorry. This is worse than making a vaccine makes your kid have autism or retarded. Sorry. I'm having my own Biden moment.
Yeah, but, you're Bidening today.
Yeah, yeah. But in any case, this is worse than that. It's worse than the movement. You know, people have been belittling and ridiculing those who are concerned about vaccines for a while. But the federal government's not going to step in and make sure a really vitally important vaccine is available to everyone. That's an outrage. But if I wasn't so beat up and hopeless, I would say that with more vim and vigor. But it is, it's an outrage to and not just class war. It seems like it's suicidal in some way to me.
Yeah. So even if we let's talk about the vaccine for a second, because even if we fast tracked it and dropped most of the CDC requirements, the vaccine is going to take a year. At best, most of the requirements usually require 3 years. And that's from America, which, you know, the CDC and the FDA have like really loose rules compared to other.
My comment about using the word retarded has now reached the audience, and I am officially canceled. We're on a delay a little bit, but I got paid for being canceled. So
are you officially canceled, everything is canceled, so it doesn't matter. you might need to edit that out of the
I'm not editing podcast. Anything out anymore,
Derek. All right.
These are live streams. This is how it goes. No editing anything out. Holding back. Look, Elizabeth Warren woke me up from the wokeness. I'm done being playing any games around wokeness anymore.
So Oh my God. Don't become a Bernie bro after the fact.
Okay. I won't.
So, you know,
no, it's not so much that, I understand the real politics of it, but the fact that she could talk about snake emojis and people talked about her need to, you know, for self-care and claim that those who were angry at her for not endorsing Bernie were sexist. To me, it was like,
you know, what the most interesting report I saw recently, and it came out from The Nation, not even Jacobin or some, you know, Bernie site. More college educated men voted for Elizabeth Warren than working class women in the Democratic Party.
Well, that's not surprising.
Surprising at all, because the professional managerial strata, I sometimes call them a class. I don't really think they're a class. They're a bunch of different things. Mm. But their interests are becoming clearer and clearer, and they're highly decadent. However, I will give them this. They're not going to be stupid as a collective group. They're not going to be stupid about this virus. Yeah,
virus. No, they would make sure that everyone got the vaccine.
They're on our side on this. Like the ultra, I mean, I think the ultra rich think they can seclude themselves because they forget how viruses work.
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of them can, but I mean, like, you know, if you look at what happened in Iran, their leadership is dying. And we, like I said, we have two Congress people who have more than exposure now. So,
yeah. I mean, look, all three of the four remaining candidates, because Tulsi's still running, are right in that group, you know, that are very vulnerable to the virus.
And let's also talk about that for a second, because the other thing that we have to face as a social democratic movement is Bernie is not going to be willing to risk a Trump presidency. Although I no longer think that might be even a problem.
No, that's not what it is. I don't think Bernie is acting the way that he is because he's afraid of a Trump presidency.
What do you think it is?
I think that he's worked within the Democratic Party for a long, long time,
which is why I think he lost Michigan.
Right. But I just think that he's friends with Joe, and, you know, even though nobody likes him, that actually matters to him. And also he is a senator and he wants to continue in his way to try to get things accomplished. So he's not going to make himself a completely alien entity within the Democratic Party.
But if we want to do if we wanted the dirty break strategy that all the DSA has been talking about for so long, you have to be willing to pull the trigger and abstain. If you're never willing to do it, then it's irrelevant.
Someone just gave us $25 and I'm going to flash this on the screen. Michael Osterholm, an internationally recognized expert in infectious disease epidemiology, was a guest on Joe Rogan on the 10th. They discussed many of these issues at length. Extremely informative episode 1439. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, you know what? They paid for that pod ad, and if it actually is really informative, I hope it is. I Joe Rogan's show is so wildly variant from day to day that I have no problem endorsing it, depending on who's on, or hating its guts, depending on who's on.
Right. I saw a clip from that show. Actually, it was a meme from the show. It was Joe talking to the epidemiologist and asking if he, the epidemiologist, had ever made a hand sanitizer out of DMT. what were we talking about before we went to Joe Rogan? And but look, the thing about splitting off and forming a third party, a social democratic party, is that two problems with that. One, whatever disadvantages that Bernie had within the Democratic Party would be multiplied for any newly emerging social democratic party. What they might have is some money, right? But they wouldn't have any base of support, or like they wouldn't have any machinery in place to get votes. They wouldn't have a great chance to win seats across the country. And they would still be stuck with from the way I'm talking, in an electoral strategy, right? So I think we might want to split off and do something else. than run another Bernie Sanders campaign. The other thing is, Bernie's not going to be around much. I mean, he might be around for another 5 years, but he's not going to be around in
right.
8 years to so run like, anything.
For example, the DSA Green combined Howie Hawkins campaign won't be an answer, even if it's a good protest vote.
Right. It's just a way to punish the Democrats who deserve to be punished. But I don't see.
You going to vote Democrat, Doug?
Am I vote for Biden?
Yeah.
Is that your question? Well, I'm in Oregon, so I don't have to. It's a deeply blue state.
So I'm in a ruby red state, so it doesn't matter what I vote either. Mm-hmm. But if any
part of me is tempted to vote for Biden, it's the same part of me that was tempted to vote for Trump in 2016, which is, oh, he's funny on TV. I'll vote for him to be able to watch him more on TV. That's pretty much it.
So what I am amazed at, given how weak this means the Democratic Party is, and people haven't gathered that what an ultimate sign of weakness this is to sabotage the Bernie campaign by having all the people that you've had on attack against Biden, not even Bernie, because they knew that alienating Bernie's base would potentially, as one of the advisors to Obama said, you did that openly and you potentially lose the party for 20 years. Mm.
If
that's the case,
you're talking about the people attacking Biden earlier,
right? And then they have to endorse him. That's actually a pretty big sign that they are weak. They don't have a choice.
No,
they're not willing to risk Bernie.
Well, but we're also, I mean, the fact that
Bernie gravely miscalculated the Midwest somewhere. That's
for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I hate to agree with Jonathan Chait on anything, but I think that like there's two narratives to why that is. One is a Democratic narrative that the anti-Hillary vote was way more specific than generic, and Biden doesn't have that taint on him, or that Bernie did not seems like too much of an insider at this point and doesn't appeal to angry people. I don't know.
This person's going to write in Bordiga. If you really want to confuse the votes and the people counting the vote, just write in Danny DeVito. It means the same thing now. I think that Bernie, if you want to know why Bernie's didn't do as well as he should have in these various states, part of it is that really that there was a very strong anti-Bernie sentiment. Because look, he lost Washington. He lost the Pacific Northwest. He lost, I mean, I think, frankly, if the remote vote was tomorrow, he'd lose Vermont right now. I think that there has been a groundswell of opposition to putting Bernie up against Trump as the anti-Trump sentiment is really hardened, maybe. But certainly, I just think that
there was a great crisis under heaven, and there is one, and the Democrats have blown it, because what's Biden going to do when he inherits this mess?
Oh, I know.
He's going to inherit a devastated economy. He will not have the levers to fix it. All the stuff that Obama has did and all this quantitative easing, we're going to have a bond market pressure on eventually. Yes, we can print as much money as we want, but that does eventually risk inflation.
Mm-hmm. Biden won't know that he's got these problems, and the Democratic Party is inheriting these problems. And
right.
And frankly, their woes, I don't care about. The question is, what are we going to do about it? You know, what are working people going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Or the socialist left?
The socialist left needs to remember that at best, a united front needs to be issues driven, not candidate driven. We're not Bonapartists.
Right.
But in the United States, it seems like the best we had was to run Bernie on that for social pressure. And it looked like it may have worked.
So do you think that this idea, this narrative that's out there, that the votes were rigged might have any merit? There were several places where
there were irregularities in Texas, but I don't think
California, there were lots of lost votes in California. They found thumb drives. My friend Jim had a friend who was working for the California state, you know, working on the vote, and they talked about how they lost like 635,000 votes and just found them like a week later.
I think even if it was true, it's kind of irrelevant.
Well, it matters a bit, not a lot, but a bit, because if we all convince ourselves that everyone else didn't want this and that's why we lost it, it's a little different than convincing ourselves the Democratic Party was willing to fake the vote in order to keep him out.
But here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Who votes in primaries, Doug?
The hardcore Democratic Party.
Correct. People. This has been a bind until this recession, which is almost inevitable at this point. I had been worried that that people weren't looking at the historical markers, in which case, no matter who we put up against Trump, Trump would probably win, even though he's highly unpopular, because he doesn't need the popular vote. He needs 47% of the vote, and not for no Midwestern state that supported him to flip. I think we can safely say that's probably not going to happen now. Yeah. Who knows, though? Who knows if they're even like what's going to happen in the next 6 months, as we have been literally in one of the most active, crazy years ever, that we're not in war. We're not in a new war. So,
by the way, in January, it's like Australia burned down, all the koalas died, and there's something else that a black hole opened up. I forget, but something else happened in January that was just catastrophic.
In the last month alone, you've had like we are having airstrikes in Iraq right now. Right. We had a peace deal with the Taliban that's already been reversed. Mm-hmm.
Was that reversed? I didn't see that. I missed that part.
We've already had to do retaliatory strikes on the Taliban. I don't think it's been totally, it's not been formally reversed, but there's already been actions. I want to address some of the commenters right now. I know, and Doug knows, that the Democratic Party is not the left. The Democratic Party is not a workers' party. It's not a social democratic party. To be fair, I'm not even sure, classically speaking, that Bernie's movement was a social democratic movement.
It was in Germany in the 19th century.
Certainly. I'm not even talking. I'm actually more talking Sweden in the 70s. It's a works program and like social goods and a welfare state.
Was aligned it a populist with, program though?
Yeah. I mean, Medicare for All is popular.
Populist. Was it?
I think it's a populist program with some MMT, some classic New Deal, some things pulled from Nordic countries. Bernie was actually deliberately very vague on this because, and I actually think this was to his credit, that he was going to figure out the kinds of experts to empower to put that in. One of the things I did gather that Bernie wanted to do was to change the technocratic core of a lot of the Democratic Party from these DNC neoliberals to like MMT guys and people more familiar with Scandinavian models. I and you both are skeptical that would have worked or even been possible with the legislature being controlled the way it was. But I do think that was his goal. So I want to give Bernie some credit for that. Would it have worked? Would it create socialism? Would it have had a political revolution? No.
You know, I talked to your former mentor and track coach, Chris.
Yeah. Cotone. My former Marxist track coach, Chris Cotone. Yeah. I saw that you talked to Chris.
And, he didn't think that Bernie was running even to win.
I'm not sure that he was either. I think.
And they didn't, then these plans about getting MMTers in to kind of,
I also feel differently about it now than I did in like, one thing that I've been saying is there are no shortcuts to creating social bases and para-institutions, even if you wanted to work within a Democratic Party. The DSA was never a real para-institution on the scale to affect mass change. I'm going to have to invoke Lenin as much as I don't love to all the time, but I agree with Lenin. Politics is in the millions at minimum, not 50,000. Mm. And the DSA got stronghold in urban areas, and its strongest areas were areas that were already in the progressive end of things. But that's not who you needed to change things. And that's not where you needed to build these institutions. That's not where the union movement needs to be revived. All right. You don't go where all that stuff is still kind of strong, so strong that it almost has a labor aristocratic nature, and then ignore the rest of the country.
Listen, I want to float one more thing here, one more idea, and then take some, like, really focus on taking questions from the chat.
All right.
But here's the thing. Bernie Sanders was an MMT-er. He wanted to change the managerial style or the ideological perspective of the Democratic Party and of Washington. That was his goal, right? Let's just grant him that. And the problem is what he wanted to change it into was something that had been, which was sort of an FDR style, Keynesian, taxes spend, social democratic welfare state approach, right? Is that pretty much, you agree with that? Huh?
I agree with it.
Yeah. So what we're talking about when we talk about the left now, or if we include Bernie on the left, are struggles over how to help the capitalist system overcome and maintain itself through what's now a, 12-year-old crisis.
Correct.
Starting in 2008. We're the midwives of the birth of the new ideology of capitalism. Uh-huh. Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what the socialist left should do.
No, but we thought that reforms were necessary for a socialist left to actually emerge as anything beyond a bunch of rump, like a minority within the DSA.
Yeah, but see, what I liked about Bernie Sanders was not that he was going to bring in these MMTers and reform the ideology of capitalism, but it was that he was going to get his power from a working class voting block, and that he was going to only be able to, once he took power, get anything accomplished by maintaining an active working class movement. That was that was a selling point to the left, I think.
Right.
That's what Michael Brooks was talking about.
But they were politically determined, not socially or economically determined.
Mm-hmm.
And while, yes, class is not a mere sociological category, blah, 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 as everybody knows, it's not also a purely politically determined one. We can't just will it out of nothing, or we would have. There are reasons why this has happened that have still not been addressed. Maybe we cannot address them yet. I don't know.
No, but the reasons why the economic crisis happened or the political crisis happened.
The political crisis happened. Why there is, while the working class movement has only grown 1% in 5 years, despite the fact that working people have benefited very little in an up economy, which is normally perfect conditions for a working class movement to emerge, because there's no one, there's not as much structural incentive to scab. That's done for another 4 years.
Oh yeah, for sure. At least.
So that moment in time has passed already.
Yeah, I know.
So what are we going to do?
I don't know. Let's take questions. Let's see if we have any.
You have somebody made a comment.
I work at a liquor store, so boom times ahead and for my field.
Good luck for you, man. Yeah. I think someone did pay for a blast out earlier. It was Gloomy Cleric.
Shots fired, DSA in critical condition.
I know, anecdotally, I know that a lot of people in the DSA are frustrated and kind of leaving now that the Bernie movement is pittering out and their other contradictions are emerging.
I've never met anyone in the DSA who wasn't an entryist.
Yeah. Almost everybody entered to get their sectarian group approved. Also, I mean, I'm going to steal a thing from the anti-politicals who I don't always agree with, but it's kind of a left-wing leper colony as a clearinghouse for a bunch of sects that are too antisocial to exist, but they don't kick anybody out. Like, not even people who don't meet the there are bylaw restrictions against, say, certain kinds of democratic centralists or whatever, and they still do them.
Is that Richard Spengler, Richard Spencer in that picture there with a cone head, like a,
yes, it is. On Oswald Spengler is your name. That's not a good look.
Yeah.
Is it fishy when the Iranian TV press was banned by Google,
when the COVID-19 started, or was it coincidence? I don't know.
I don't know either. I would say slightly fishy, but not conspiratorially so.
Let's see.
What do you think of those who choose to stay home in general? That they should stay home. You mean stay home from elections, or stay home like not getting court?
Right now, you know, staying at home is the right thing to do. Stay home all the time, including on election day.
You know, one thing about the U.S. is we don't have a minimum threshold for an election to be valid. So in certain countries, staying home is actually a viable
protest
because you actually make the election illegitimate. That doesn't work in the United States.
Someone says, what does the future of the left look like? The death of Bernie's campaign signals the end of his generation of the left. Woke politics is dead. Where do we go now?
The left is always dead.
Yeah, well, there's different ways to be dead, I think. I think woke politics is dead. I don't want there to be like a big backlash against the struggle against racism or something like that, or struggle against sexism. I just want wokeness to die, you know? And I'm not exactly sure how to navigate that effectively. I think one of the reasons wokeness hangs on is because it does fill the gap or take the place of an actual liberatory racial politics.
Well, it's a managerial politics for a lot of ways. Like, it's kind of the politics. The way it's manifested is like HR speech control. Yeah. I actually really think what it's fighting for is important, but like the way it does it is so, it feels so gross to a lot of people that it kind of creates left reactionary backlash.
I don't even think that what it's really fighting for is important, because what I think it's really fighting for is simply a way to maintain control over people. And
what it claims to be fighting for versus what it actually does is a different thing.
Yeah. I mean, after this election, after what happened, I can't even think. I don't think that people who are worried about the sexism against Elizabeth Warren are remotely concerned about sexism.
Right. And nor do I think that people who are, you know, telling me that Joe Biden represents the black vote, despite all of his history, the only argument they could come up with was he played second fiddle to a black man.
You know what? If it had been Bloomberg, they would have said the same exact thing. If Bloomberg won South Carolina, they would have said the same exact thing. That's why you know that these people are fraud.
I mean, and Bloomberg was buying black politicians off to endorse them 2 weeks before.
I know.
You know, and I remember Biden getting credit for like the Violence Against Women Act and people attacking Bernie for the same thing, because to pass that bill, they had to pass a more tough on crime law to get it through as part of the bargain to pass the Violence Against Women Act. And so that put Bernie in a bind, but Biden passed it and Biden got credit for it and Bernie got condemned for it. So yeah, it's not fair, but I'm going to say the same thing I've always said to leftists about this. Do you expect the bourgeois to be fair, you twits?
No, of course not. I just wanted to have the coronavirus come in and sneeze.
Yes.
Well, okay. If there are any more questions, we should take them.
A question about the black vote, and I want to address that. If you actually look at that, it's not really, but it's a quotation, the black vote. The black vote was actually more divided by age too. The issue is in the South, older African Americans vote in primaries in way long, more numbers than younger ones. And that became taken as a representative of the community. Also in the South, there are felon laws in almost all the states that Biden was in, which exclude a lot of the African-American community, and the voter turnout was low. There were, you know, people who I think were attracted to the – I mean, I heard people from South Carolina who swear there are people attracted to the vote that were broader, you know, brought in, but it was not – it was still not as much as you would think. But unfortunately for Bernie, that's been true for the Bernie side too. The voter turnout's just been lower than expected, except in Nevada – and you're in Iowa.
So someone, Carly Lilly asks, if there were actually three parties, would the left independent cohort be big enough to overcome the centrist corporate Democrats plus moderate Republicans and the right wing?
No.
That is off.
It would not. It does not in Europe most of the time.
Right.
And usually the Social Democratic Party becomes a centrist party over time because of that problem. If you look at the SPD in Germany, that was a trajectory until it became irrelevant. Now, you know, now you have Die Linke and the moderates are now represented by.
So Donald Robertson says bourgeois capitalism is facing its last days, although Marxism is not the replacement. And I just want to say Marxism has never thought of itself as the replacement for anything. Marx is a critique of capitalism and part of a larger project for socialism.
Yep.
And bourgeois capitalism is
that's
actually
redundant.
Part of the same tradition that socialism is, which is the anti autocratic, anti monarchical freedom tradition that comes out of modernity. I'm going to say I'm actually a little tired because I haven't been sleeping well, but in any case, I'm sundowning right now. But the point is that Marxism is not meant to be an ideological replacement for bourgeois capitalism. It is a critique in the service of socialism.
Does Narcom have a YouTube channel? Guys, Narcom means commissar in Russian. And no, the only place you find me is here and also on Other Zero podcast. And all, I mean, I do show up on the Emancipation Network and on the Sectarian Review, but this is my home.
This is, Pop the Left is, we're going to be doing Pop the Left every 2 weeks from now on out. And this is the day, Thursdays at 6, Pop the Left with Doug and Varn. Or Doug and Derek. And so look for us here in the future. I will not be sundowning as much on these.
I want to address one more thing from one of those people. And I see another question before you cut us off. The replacement will take much more creativity than y'all are capable of. Yes, it will. I meant this in my previous statement as a question. So we should figure out what that previous statement is. They just paid for that.
Yeah, I mean, right. I don't think Marxism is probably enough, but socialism is. But we don't know it.
So we need to figure out what that previous question was because they paid for it.
Well, just do it again without paying for it, and I'll hopefully see it. Lindsay Kinbrough.
All right. Some other questions really fast. Narcom, how would you design a monetary system? I wouldn't. I would not. Like, honestly, my goal would be to have no monetary system. But in the immediate short one, as much as I'm opposed to MMT as a fix to capital – I wouldn't even mind that. You know, fiat currency's fine in the current transition. Then you could transistor something like labor tokens if you had to and then get rid of that. Okay, state socialism is not good. I actually agree with you. State socialism is not Marxism.
We both agree. But I mean, what to do with the state is a problem. I'm not a state socialist, which gets me in a lot of trouble with a lot of people.
Yeah, me neither. Boris Johnson, Lenin. That's a dissertation, man. I like early and right before he's going to die, Lenin. So 1905 to 1910 and 1927.
Okay, so a new lower-class party created by all of us who talk the talk, hands-on, create a new voter base.
How are you going to do that? You need something. You need a base to build a party out of. You need institutions to build a party out of. That's what working parties were built out of.
State socialism does work. Look at China.
Socialism. The end of discussion. All right.
Here's what we go. I think we're going to have to wrap this up. Here's the deal, though, everyone. Pop the Left comes out every other Thursday at 6, but we do an hour for everyone, and then we take a break. I get a cup of coffee. We come back. We do a private stream that we then release for patrons only. So we're just about to do that. I want to thank everybody who's been watching. But one other thing that we should do here is take a moment to, I think, just acknowledge the seriousness of our situation, both just as humans with the coronavirus coming down on us, but also as working people who have a state that has no plans, apparently, to offer any real relief, coordination, help or protection. So we are not going to stop thinking about that or stop working on that. And I hope that we can come back in 2 weeks' time, still all be here, and have something more substantial to say about it than we did this time. So unless there's anything else you want to say, Derek, I'm going to end the stream.
You have anything? I have a few things to say really fast.
Okay.
To address the China thing, China has a higher Gini coefficient than America does, and it produces as many billionaires. If that's state socialism, then it clearly actually is better at producing the functioning capital world system than it is socialism itself.
They number have a one. Theory number two. Socialism, they're going to get there through capitalism.
I understand. It's NEP on crack. And you know what? At least Lenin had the foresight and honesty to admit that maybe state capitalism was a necessary transition to socialism. If you call it that, I'll accept that. Mm-hmm. I'll even accept that China may be a hybrid system, but it is not socialism as defined anywhere in Marxism. And we have to be nominalistic about those terms. That calls itself socialism, fine, but that's not what we mean by it. Number two, I don't know what Lenin debates mean right now, but it's not just the Red Terror. I don't like Lenin from a whole lot of stuff. And we're going to get asked a ton of questions, and we'll have to deal with them off air. Bye. Bye.